and welcome to A Bookshelf Binge. I'm your host, Jessica, and today we're joined by one of my favorite fan fiction writers, Izzy. You might know her as Read These Fics on YouTube and TikTok, Izzy Eats Books on Instagram, and I'm going to say this wrong because I haven't read the series. Devastanner?
Yeah, you got it.
Fuck yes.
First try.
I really tried. I did like research before this interview to like try to get this right because I was like, I haven't read this series.
Oh no, you did it. You nailed it.
You might know her fanfics based on Devabad trilogy. I just said it real fast.
You did it. The Devabad trilogy. You got it.
And the ACTAR series. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I really regret making that username. It trips so many people up because they're just like, and I'm just like, Devastanner. It was a fun pun because there's a place called Devastanna. And I, at the time, really liked Devabad, so I considered myself a Devastanner. And here we are.
It kind of makes me laugh because you only have like, two or three fanfics on it versus like 24.
I do. I was like, it's so funny because like they got me, they really got me back into reading, and I was like, I'm gonna do this one little fic and then I'll be done. And the username no longer pertains anymore. It's all about something else. It's too late to change it at this point.
You are locked in.
I really am, yeah.
So funny. What made you want to start writing fanfic? Like, what is your fanfic origin story?
Oh, ooh.
We're just diving real deep real fast.
Let's hear in my origin story, I would like to be played by Sophie Turner. If anybody's like picturing this in their head, just picture her, and that's me. I swear this is on topic, this is relevant. So I started doing acting when I was 9, and I liked to write then, and you know, you don't always get cast in everything, and I would still need a creative outlet. So I started like writing little fanfics in my journals when I was like 9, and eventually like it turned into fanfic on fanfic.net. And just whenever I wasn't acting or doing anything creative that way, I was writing fanfiction. So then fast forward to like being an adult, and I moved to Chicago and I started doing sketch comedy. And then the pandemic hit and comedy clubs were shut down, and I got back into reading and needed a creative outlet again. So I took to writing fan fiction again. And it's a lot of fun because it's a lot like writing a sketch. You know, you're writing a scene. I love writing like dialogue, banter between people. So it really just comes from a need to like create entertainment for people. And it's just fun.
We said this before we started recording, but like I just recently got into fanfic, and like my reading totals are already very high because it's all I do. But once we started adding in fanfic, like Goodreads get like 60 some books right now, and like if we add in the fanfics, it's like well over 100. Like all over.
Oh yeah, did you hear that AO3 like shut down last night?
Yes, and it was in the middle. I was reading during the shutdown.
No.
And then, it wouldn't take me to the next chapter. And I was like, what is happening?
I try to respond to like comments that I get behind on Sunday nights. So I went to go do it and I was like, oh no. Oh no, 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 no. And like Twitter was having a meltdown and somebody was like, I can't go to bed until AO3 is back up.
I was deep in a Hermione slow burn. Oh. And like they were about to get, it was going to happen the next chapter. I was like, what is happening?
You didn't get your pay. Oh, that's awful. You got slow burn blue balls. That stinks.
It was so rough. And it was down for like 25 minutes. And I was like, I guess I'm going to go wash my face now.
That 25 minutes felt a lot longer than it was. But yeah, there's like some 250K words on there. People will be like in the middle of a giant fanfic on there that should qualify as a book towards your reading total for sure.
Exactly. But fanfic now has like a very deep place in my heart.
Oh, good. Same.
we talked about this, but you write about mostly the Avatar series now.
Mm-hmm.
What drew you to writing about this fanfic or this fandom?
There are like two things that I read a lot of books, and it's funny like how many books I read versus how many fandoms I cater to. But there have to be like two things I've noticed. One is like a sandbox that I can play around in, like a nice world that's like big, that has like unexplored corners that I can sort of manipulate and tie into a storyline, but at the same time that isn't so big that I can't follow along. And then the other thing is minor characters with very tragic backstories who front a different persona. Like the first one I became obsessed with was Remus Lupin, who was very sarcastic and had like this very tragic backstory. And then, you know, we went from face scars to hand scars, and now we're at Asriel, who is the long-suffering, quiet best friend that I am currently obsessed with. So yeah, tragic characters that I kind of want to explore their headspace, and then a nice sandbox.
That's fair. I feel like Sarah J. Maas especially is like very well, does side characters so well, where she gives you like just enough mm-hmm. to like want more, but she's never going to give it.
Yeah, I read ACOTAR and I was just like, oh, not bad. And then I got into ACMAF and I just remember being like, I'm in trouble. I'm in so much trouble. Obsessed immediately.
Oh my gosh. They are, I feel like her writing, and like, I feel like J.K. Rowling's writing, all of that, like all of it all lends to being really great fanfic.
Mm-hmm. And it's because they put so much work into every character. That person's not just there to be a plot device. They always serve a purpose on top of having like a really good backstory. Because you can sort of tell when somebody's just there. But even like in Throne of Glass, we have Knox Owen, who I was obsessed with for a minute. Like, I'm not gonna lie, when he showed back up, like, minor spoiler for Throne of Glass, when he shows back up later in another book, I was like, ah! And Sarah was like, Izzy, nobody cares about Knox. I care. Yeah,
it's like everyone who's like told that like no one cares about Helion. We all care about Helion.
We all care about Helion. All right. If anything happens to him, I swear to God. I'm obsessed with him right now. I was like doing some Lady of Autumn cosplays last night, and I was just like in my feels about this character, Lady of Autumn. We don't even know her name, and I'm just like obsessed with her.
I love that.
Yeah.
In your fanfics, how important is it to you to stay true to source material?
Really important. Really, really, really important. So I started in Harry Potter fan fiction, and
I feel like, as we all do.
Yeah, we all do. It's the kids try marijuana to see if it has any kick.
It does.
It does. It does. And I started out there, and like I said, writing Remus Lupin fan fiction, I remember vividly I got the color of his eyes wrong. And my first ever comment on my first ever uploaded fan fiction was just this, probably a grown adult reaming me for getting his eye color wrong and being like, page 345, Prisoner of Azkaban, his eye color describes it. And ever since then, like, it's a perfectionist part of me, and this part of me that has no desire to get a dissertation on the color brown and the color amber ever again. But yeah, it's very important for sure.
How do you stay so close to canon? Is it just like you've read these books like 7,000 times, or like you have a fate?
So funny enough, people cannot believe this when I say I have only read the books one time. I am just so lucky to live in this age where we have, you know, the Kindle app on our phone, where like if I forget what somebody smells like, I can just be like, scent, and like 11,000 scents will populate. And I got it right there. And then, you know, you've got the wonderful website Fandom that you can always visit. And that gives me all canon stuff. But more than anything, I rely on like the community of people that I have made friends with, namely Freckles and Fiction from TikTok, Avery. The way that I first got started talking to her was like, I was working on my first Win Real fic, and I noticed that she was working on something called the Aswin Timeline, which was Gwyn Real's first canon name, ship name. And it was the just timeline of her, Gwyn's POVs in all the books, and then his timeline as well. And I was like taking notes because I really wanted this to be accurate. And I remember I was waiting for her to say when Akasif ended, and she didn't say the date of when it ended. So I like slid into her DMs and I was like, do you know what month it would like end on? And she was like, give me 5 minutes. And came back to me and she gave me like a loose date. And then after that, she just kind of became my ACOTAR encyclopedia. So whenever I have any like ACOTAR canon related questions, I'm like, Avery, every time.
That's so funny. Has she just read the books a million times, or is she also?
She's read them 1,000 times. She has multiple copies, has to get a new copy every time she buys a new dust jacket.
I relate to that.
I honestly, I'm really excited. I'm going to start my first reread ever soon. I'm going to do them in publication order just because I want to see where her, like, I want to see her thought process and then just her writing progress. So I'm very excited for my first ever reread. But yeah, right now, wholly relying on my human ACOTAR encyclopedia, Avery.
I love that. It's when you do it in publication order, that's how I initially read them. Like, just like by accident.
Oh.
And because the way when I joined the Sarah J. Maas fandom, it just like happened to be around when like ACOTAR was being published. So like by accident, I got into this on time.
Nice. And now you have to wait with everybody else.
Oh my gosh. So annoyed. This is how I spent grad school, is just like reading Sarah J. Maas. So I'm so annoyed. But it's fun seeing that progression and fun seeing like that growth. And you can kind of tell when like the multiverse started to like lay its seeds and like grow and like all of that. What's your biggest priority when you write these stories?
For me, it's staying true to the characters that the author has written, because people pick up fan fictions for like two reasons. One, they like the premise, and two, they like the character. One of the search functions on all fan fiction websites is searching by character, really. So making sure that I keep the voice of that person is a big priority, especially when they're a minor character like Gwyn or Az. So yeah, that's the biggest thing for me.
Do you find it challenging writing in a voice of another author? Like, you're essentially like adopting certain things from Sarah J. Maas when you're writing a story in her world and trying to keep that voice. Like, do you find that challenging?
In a good way. Because it's kind of like I said, I act and do sketch comedy. So it's like acting with writing. So it's kind of easy. Not easy. It's fun. It's a fun challenge. Acolam, A Court of Light and Melody, my big one. I tried to do my best to write that in Sarah J. Maas's voice. I even like plucked out certain things that she likes to use a lot. My lady loves to use incarnate a lot, death incarnate, night incarnate, all that. So I threw in those. And then with Trial of the Valkyrie, which was the most recent one that I wrote, that was more, I tried to do in my own voice, just because I don't know, I hadn't really ever written in my own voice before. And I wanted to see what that was like, but both are so rewarding to do in the end.
That's so interesting. What is like the easiest, most words are hard. What is the easiest part about writing fanfic for you?
Oh, probably just the premise coming to me, because the premise will come to me like when I'm doing dishes or taking a shower or watching TV. My most recent one, the Trial of the Valkyrie fic, when I was watching Outlander, and I was like, wouldn't this be neat if? So coming up with the premise is the easiest part for me. And that's when I usually end up sending like a 350 plus word text to Avery and Sarah and Taylor and my friends Heather and Lauren going, I have an idea for a story, and this is the idea. And they're just scrolling through my text. They'll be like, great. So yeah, Avery will show you. She has screenshots of like me sending her the entire story of Trial of the Valkyrie, like beginning to end, of being like, this is the story.
Yeah. I love that. What do you find is the most difficult?
Probably the thing that I prioritize the most, which is the making sure to stay in the character voice. Because like I said, you have the bones of the character. The challenging part is taking your story and having it have an effect on the character and have that character have some growth that not only aligns with your premise, but with what you think the author would want to do, at least in my case. So I am very meticulous about character arcs and character growth, to the point where when I go through my first draft, I have my regular notes, and then I have like color-coded Gwen note, as note, and I'll be like, in this chapter, Gwen took the first step and held his hand. In this chapter, As flinched away from her touch. That way I don't go to the next chapter and As isn't like, I don't know, making out with her out of nowhere or something. I have to stay consistent because I will be listening to music. And if Cody Fry inspires me to make two people kiss, it's gonna happen. I have to be careful not to get carried away and to keep them consistent to what Sarah has wrote and also to what I plan for them to go through. So that's the toughest part.
So interesting. Why do you think fanfic is so popular?
See, I think it comes a lot from what I was saying earlier about the resources we have now. We have Kindle, we have fandom.com, we have all these websites, and then we also have all these nerdy communities. So I think it went from being like this sort of niche thing that you could find on fanfic.net to like, it's almost like higher quality now because we have more resources at our disposal. But on top of that, like reading is kind of back in a big way because of the pandemic. And I mean this in the nicest way possible. We readers are greedy and impatient and we want more. And we can be greedy and impatient with fan fiction. We can just go and you wanted to see what if Reese was a mafia boss? Take it. You got it. It's there. It's just the content is just so much more than it used to be. And not just in like the quantity, but in quality as well. Because people are making covers, they're making fan arts, they're making playlists that correspond with it. It's just like such a cool experience for readers who want more.
I love it. I know I gravitate towards fanfic the most when I'm like being my most indecisive mm-hmm. about picking a new book and like not wanting to like start a new thing over.
Are you a mood reader?
I'm such a mood reader.
Yeah, me too.
I can't stick to a TBR list to save my fucking life.
So neither can I. What I did was I created a jar or a tea tin with all my TBR titles in there. And I would reach in and pull one out and I'd select it. And nope, I was like, can't do this. So I still have like 52 books behind me that I have to read.
Yeah. So it's like easy to like jump into like a fandom that I already know, and like it's like less investment on my part while also being more invested.
And it's fun because you can also interact with authors on fan fictions, which you can't do with like you can't interact with. Oh my god, this sounds so bad. I was gonna say you can't talk to Sarah J. Maas, but you talk to me.
But that's real.
It's true. I'll talk to you about how sexy Azrael
is. Yeah.
I am in no way comparable to Sarah J. Maas, but I mean, like, I could talk to you about my ACOTAR, and she can't talk to you about her ACOTAR right now. That's all I mean.
What's your favorite part about being a fanfic author?
Ooh, it's probably just seeing it go from this, like, text message to my friend Avery, to a messy Google Doc, to just a 465 plus page beast that I've uploaded. Just seeing the final product is so rewarding. What started out as just like a little idea becoming a huge story. And, you know, I mean, it's always great to see that other people enjoy it. But I love it most when my friends enjoy it too. I like nothing makes me happier than my friends, Lauren and Heather. They both write fan fiction as well. Lauren writes A Court of Whispers and Song, which has been going on for like a year. And then Heather wrote The Raven and the Songbird, which is another Gwyn Reel fic. Those are both Gwyn Reel fics for anybody listening. And I just love getting to talk to them like on Zoom about like our different respective fics. So that's another thing that I like, the final product, and then just getting to talk to people about it.
I love that. Can you kind of talk me through the process? Because I know like all fanfic writers kind of do it very differently, but like, how do you do it?
Yeah. So Avery gets her text. That's step one. Cause she has to be the first to know it's a deal. And then what I do next is I sit down and I just like single space, no edits. Just, I type and type and type and type the entire story from beginning to end, just an overall summary. And it ends up being like no indents, no line breaks. It ends up being like 3 pages of just a stream of consciousness sort of thing. And then after that, what I do is I go back and reread those pages. And then brick by brick, I take out pieces that I think could be chapters and build an outline from that. And then I just write each chapter one by one. So for instance, A Court of Light and Melody, there's a part in it where Gwyn and Asriel go to Illyria on like their first mission together. That was like one sentence in my outline, and it ended up becoming a chapter, and then it ended up becoming 4 chapters. So after I finish making the outline and I write all of it, I read it all through one more time, decide if I need to break up the chapters any different than they already are, because sometimes, like 90% of the time, having it in the outline the way you have it in the final draft is just not going to flow well. And then after that, I get all my preview TikToks set up in my drafts. I try not to do too many teasers because sometimes you'll lose them all because the clock app can kind of mess up.
Clock app does mess up.
I lost a bunch of teasers. But yeah, then I like to have everything completely fully written before I start uploading. It's not until about halfway done that I announce that it's ready and start sending out teasers on TikTok to kind of gauge people's reactions to what I'm writing. I like to do that a little over halfway because then I can still kind of tailor that final draft to the audience. Yeah, because like I'll upload something for instance, like I remember when I uploaded the first Trial of the Valkyrie thing, people were like not so much interested in the trial fact, but they were really interested in that arranged marriage. And I was like, okay, we'll focus on that. shocker, which was fine with me because I was more interested in that too. So just outline, final draft, and then tailoring it around what everybody's reactions are on TikTok, and then chapter teaser, chapter teaser, chapter teaser every day.
I find this so fascinating.
Oh, good.
the scheduling and like the, I am blown away by like the timetables of like traditional authors and then like traditionally published authors, and then like listening to the timetables of like indie published authors is so fascinating. And like hearing your timetable is just like so fascinating.
I have a luxury of like setting my own deadline for sure. Yeah. I think, what was it? It was A Court of Light and Melody and Trial of the Valkyrie both took me 3 to 4 months to complete. And A Court of Light and Melody, I think, came to about 685 pages.
It was 84 chapters for anyone keeping track.
Is that with the bonus chapter? Because I uploaded bonus chapters at Christmas too. Yeah, I think that's with the bonus chapters.
It is with the bonus chapters.
I actually have, I've had.
Know this off the top of my head.
I'm very excited. I'm going to get to hold a physical copy soon. I have 3 people who were binding it, and they reached out to me very politely because it's a very sensitive issue with copyright and whatever. They were like, I'd like to make one for myself and I would make you one as well. And I've had 3 people reach out about making one. So I'm going to get to hold that 84 chapter beast soon. And I'm so excited.
That's so fun. Can you kind of dive into the, I didn't like prep you for this, but can you dive into like why it's sensitive to like have fan fiction bound? Because like that's not something I actually would have ever thought of if you're like binding it for personal reasons.
So or, binding like, for- it for personal, I yeah, it's not sensitive to me. Whenever somebody's like, I'm gonna bind it, I'm like, oh, you want to get it off of the website and put it in your hand? Yeah. There is fear that like J.K. Rowling's gonna come for your ass. she's gonna step out of your closet and be like, I heard you're writing Wolfstar. there's some people have fan fiction authors have gotten in trouble for people mass binding and producing their stuff. I'm not sure who it was exactly, but there was one pretty recently. I don't know which one it was, but they got served like stop doing this because they were mass producing and profiting off of it.
Aww.
So doing it free of charge is fine. But like mass copying is a big no-no because that can make, we don't want fan fiction to be illegal. Mm-hmm. Right now it's protected, I think, under fair use. I could be wrong. Hannah Bob, who binds fan fiction, knows all about this. She's actually who I went to first when someone was like, can I bind it? And I was like, let me check. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail for fairy porn. So I went to Hannah and she was like, as long as they are not profiting and it's not being mass produced, it's totally okay. But yeah, it's all about the legality of fan fiction, which is already pretty tenuous.
Yeah. Like, let's like draw attention to that because Anne Rice and I think it's Tolkien very specifically are two estates that are very anti-fan fiction. Yep. And like we've seen news articles in the past about how like Anne Rice like had fan fiction removed from the web, mm-hmm. and like scrubbed from the web because how anti-fanfic she was, which is just so fascinating to me.
It blows my mind. I was actually having a conversation with my husband about this a week or two ago about how I think that fan fiction should kind of be its own separate thing because it is kind of like, it's almost, well, at least as I've talked to some of my author friends, it's almost a form of free advertising for your work. And there are cases where people have gotten interested in series by fan fiction that they've heard about. I don't think that, I think that authors who have a problem with it, I get like being protective of your work for sure. But fan fiction as a whole is just rooted in like such a lovely place of liking what you've created. And I think that publishing companies are kind of missing out by not, you know, doing something with fan fiction or talking about it more.
And it's so interesting considering books like 50 Shades of Grey.
After.
Started as fanfic. Like, yep. Yeah, and after. Mm-hmm. And so it's so fascinating to me.
City of Bones.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That was Ron and Ginny fanfic, right?
I was like, is she going to say it? Is she going to say it?
Absolutely going to say it.
Yeah. Fan fiction is such a cool thing though. And I have my own bound copies of fan fiction by Jules Five, The Life and Times, which is a, do you know of it?
I've heard of it. I don't actually know it, but you're not the first person I know that has mentioned it.
Gosh, if I ever met Jules Five, she is such an inspiration. But she wrote like, it's the books, my husband bound them for me. They're about this, he had to make two out of the one. And they're like really chonky. But she really was a big inspiration for me to like go real into fan fiction was her Harry Potter fan fiction.
What a great husband.
He's the best. That was a great Christmas present.
How do you decide between doing like a one chapter one shot versus like Trial of Valkyrie, which was 26 chapters, mm-hmm. and A Song of Light and Melody, which was 84 chapters? And yes, I have those numbers off the top of my head. I didn't
have I will say one of the biggest complaints I got with A Court of Light and Melody was that the chapters were too short, which I still kind of disagree with. They were all like 10 pages a piece, which is about the length of an ACOTAR chapter, about 10 to 15 pages. So when I did Trial of the Valkyrie, those were all between 23 to 26 pages a piece. I think what made people feel like they were shorter was because you had to wait a day between each one. But generally, it just comes to me when that premise pops into my head. Like when I came up with the Court of Light and Melody, immediately I was like, this is going to be big. This is going to be a huge chungus of a boy.
It's going to be an access.
I didn't know how big it would be. Like I said, one sentence was like, they go on a mission to the mountains, became three chapters. And then Trial of the Valkyrie, I knew that was going to be pretty big as well. I have a lesser known Eleusian fan fiction called Fox and Fawn. And
yes, you do.
Oh, you're familiar. That premise came to me and I was like, this is not big enough to sustain anything huge. So it's a novella like length. So it just kind of generally just comes to me with that first idea. And then sometimes I know it's a one shot because I have a trope itch is what I call it to scratch. Like I want to see some mortal peril, or I want to see a one bed scene or something. Like I don't want to reread the same one, so I'll make my own. So I'll decide on like one shot links, basically on what I'm in the mood for, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, like, I feel like that's the best part about writing. You write what you want to read.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, man, I really just want to see if anybody's been seeing my stuff. Like, I really want to see Azrael get his wings ripped off and what happens there. My little messed up brain wants that. So I write it. When I came up with that, Sarah Rosebud Mode was like, yes, I love it. And I remember Avery and Taylor were immediately just like, no, you can't. I was like, this isn't for you.
Absolutely for not. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Does the toxicity of the SJM fandom ever make you hesitant to write the fanfic that you write?
1,000%. So my first ever Gwyn Real fanfiction is called A Court of Smoke and Shadow. And it was actually my first SJM fanfic. And I wrote it just try writing it. Because at the same time, like that was when I was like, I'm never going to write anything other than Devabod. This will be my one ACOTAR fanfiction. But the first chapter to that is just a letter to the fandom being like, please don't think I hate anybody. I really don't mind anybody in the series. This is an attack on Elaine. I just like Gwyn better. I'm sorry. Please just leave if you don't like this fic. Bye. And that was the first chapter of my first ever Gwyn Real fic, was just a big, please don't be mean to me. And then on TikTok, where I started advertising A Court of Smoke and Shadow, I was faceless for a very long time because I was terrified that people were gonna either make fun of like me and my appearance, or they would find me on social media. There have been attempts to like dox people in the fandom, and I was like, I'm not interested in that. And eventually I just stopped caring about it. It did happen. I did get made fun of and my appearance made, but nobody's doxed me yet. So losers haven't managed to dox me.
Failures.
I know. I feel like I've just set a bar. I didn't mean to. Don't dox me.
How do you handle people being so vehemently against Gwyn Real? And like, this is so funny that you were like, I was so hesitant, because like, I started following you a few months ago, and like, since I followed you, like, no shits have ever been given.
Nope. So it started out, this sounds so weird. The growth in my account was pretty fast. As soon as I showed my face, I went from like 800 followers to like 2000, and nothing bad happened. Like I didn't get any hate, and I was very happy about that. Until One day somebody asked my opinion on some what they considered foreshadowing for a different ship. And to be clear, this user was asking as a person who did not ship that ship. They were like, "What? How do you think this actually plays in my favor?" So I gave my opinion, and I immediately was put on Twitter. And a lot of my videos were put on Twitter, and people were just ripping into everything from my content to my looks to the way that I talked. And I decided, okay, I'm going to do an impression of somebody who doesn't care. That didn't go well because I care a lot about what people think of me. So instead of just pretending like I didn't care, I decided to just look at it from a practical standpoint. So I took a look at my analytics and saw that they had increased my engagement by 80%. And I quickly went from 2K to 3K because of all that hate. So I just try to look at the bright side. Yeah.
It's so interesting to me. Anyone who's a part of like this world, like seeing the ramifications of this series not being done yet, it's fascinating to see. Like, and we've talked about this on the show before when we had Ava on, and like Ava got death threats for a while. Like, it's intense.
Her and Steph both, I think. They're not real people, so I don't know why you're attacking real people for that. And you know, what took me by surprise was I had met so many people who disagreed with my opinion, who I'm friends with. And I was like, oh, nobody's really that mean. There are people who disagree with me are just regular people, but there is a faction of crazy people. It's a small number of very loud, crazy people.
Yeah.
Another way I handle it is just like bitching about it with other creators. Who have been through the same thing. They're like, oh, you got a death threat? Congratulations. That's great. Like, you've made it.
Join the club.
You've made it. Welcome to the club.
Are there any fandoms you want to write fanfic for one day that you haven't already? Like, are there any other things that you want one day?
Yeah. There is. I, first and foremost, I write fanfiction for myself because there's a story that I want to see. And I don't know if you've heard of The Sands of Aryoa. I'm probably butchering that, but it's the We Hunt the Flame duology. I have a whole post-series enemies to lovers fan fiction that I've completed that is just sitting in my drafts. One day I want to do a reread of the duology and refine it, and then maybe I'll put it out there into the universe. That fandom doesn't have a lot of fan fiction, as it were. So if I could just, one of my favorite things that I've done since I started doing fan fiction was The Ripper and the Scourge, which was my first, Fox and Fawn, both of those, I dropped the entirety of them onto AO3 on a date for everybody just to consume at their leisure. And I would love to do that with my first We Hunt the Flame fan fiction. So yes, We Hunt the Flame, Hafsah Faizal.
As someone who hates the wait, like, I would love that. I would love if you just dropped it all one go.
I hate the wait too. That's one of the big things. Like, when I started putting out fan fiction, I kind of asked myself, like, what do people want from fan fiction? And I feel like they want their fan fiction that they're reading to feel important and to feel like a book. So I was like, I don't want anybody ever waiting and worrying that I'm not going to like put it all out there. So I'm going to do daily updates. They're going to have something every single day. I'm going to leave some of them on cliffhangers that it'll be okay because they can go to teasers on TikTok and see those. I want to add a song with every chapter to like set the mood. I wanted to make it feel important and cool. And when somebody put my stuff on Goodreads, I was like, that was the last step. Thank you. I still don't know who did it.
I love it. If you get it, can you slide into my DMs? Thank you.
I honestly, I had no idea people cared as much about fan fiction as they did until I started doing this. And it's been so cool to meet so many people who care about it.
It's so interesting to me because fanfic has such this like almost like nerdy, like weird reputation.
Yeah.
Like people who like don't get it act like it's this weird thing. And then like the minute you start reading it, you're like, oh, this is everything I ever wanted.
it's good. And like I feel like it gets that reputation for a few reasons. One, because it's a lot of work for no pay, and just not to get too like society, but we as a society place value on things that bring in profit, and you putting all this work into something that only brings you joy, people are like, weird, you're not making any money from that. And then also I feel like, and you talked about this with Scarlett St. Clair, romance in particular, just things that women like and women have made into thriving industries get kind of looked down at sometimes. Fan fiction is a largely woman dominated activity, so I think that it gets a stigma there too.
Absolutely. And oh my god, I can't believe you just quoted like my interview with Scarlett thing. I just got quoted back.
it's such a good interview. I was really touched, and especially about, oh god, I sound so pretentious. I know what it's like to get a bad Goodreads review now. And I can't believe people were like adding her in their bad review and stuff. And if anybody ever did that to me about my fan fiction, I'd be like, whatever, I don't get paid to do this. It's just for me and my friends. But that interview was so good.
You're so nice. You're so nice.
Thanks. You're nice too. You really are. We're both, our emails, like if anybody could see the emails we're sending, you sent me an apology about the email not good technical difficulties, and I was saying I'm sorry, maybe I opened the email wrong.
So like my very first like episode of this podcast, it's like me and my friend Naomi, and I like mentioned, I was like if you want to come on, like I would really like appreciate, but like you don't feel any, like you don't have to. Are you ever concerned about metrics when like looking at this stuff, like kind of talking about all of this, like do you look at those numbers and do you care about them, or is it truly just like you're writing what you want to write?
I think anybody who has a following and says that they don't worry about metrics is not being entirely truthful, because like I think that there is a difference between caring about metrics and then having them at the back of your mind. I think that I've grown to care more about them, but in the sense that I know that it's luck at the end of the day, when it comes to like how popular a video, because I'll have something that I'll put out that I'll be like, this is gonna blow everybody's minds, this thing, and then it doesn't, and I'm like, I know my audience better than this, like come on, somebody had to have liked this. And then like 2 months later I'll look and that one TikTok will have like 69,000 views, and I'm like, I knew it. But like art is subjective, I think, is the important thing to keep in mind when it comes to metrics, is like what you deem is going to be really popular and really cool is probably really cool to a couple of people. And I will say, like, I put stuff out with sometimes with like two followers in mind. I'll be like, oh, that's a Freysa and the Real Slim Katie are going to love this. And as long as they see it and they're like, oh, it's this, I'm very happy. Yeah.
I love that. Do you ever hope to take this writing ability that you have like grown and like write your own book and like write your own story, or are you very happy writing within the fanfic realm?
You know, I actually at one point I considered taking Acalam and filing off the serial numbers and reformatting it as my own original work. I had a whole different cast lined up for everybody. And then I had a bunch of people reach out to me and, you know, well, a bunch for me, four people were like, can I bind it? And I was like, if I take this down, then like the only things that are going to exist of it are like these people who have bound it, like who have typesets put in, and I don't want to take it away, especially when it's like gotten, I think it's like at 200K hits now. I'm like, I don't want to do that. And also one of my writer friends was like, you don't want to do that because then you're going to have to take it down. And that's like free advertising. If you ever put a book out there, is like, people can go read that. You want to keep that up. So I do have interest in making my own original work. I'm workshopping something right now. I had like 10 different ideas bouncing around in my head, and none of them really got me excited until the other night. So I'm really excited. I am working on something now. And it's just honestly something fun that I would really enjoy reading. Nobody really knows much about it except for my husband, who at night I was like, and then what they would do is they would get on a horse. And he writes, so he has some great advice for me too. So yeah, I do have interest. I'm working on it right now, and I've got a great support system of Rosebud Mode and then all my fan fiction writing friends. You'd be surprised how many fan fiction authors are in the background working on something else. It's pretty great.
Yeah. I feel like that would, like, I would absolutely expect that. Like, people like write fanfic as like an outlet while they write their own stuff, and like, or like they'll get an idea while they write fanfic, being like, oh, this is a great, I can take this and run with it on my own.
Yes.
And I feel like fanfic absolutely makes sense to me as like a springboard for everything else.
Yeah, it really does. And like, I have my, this one girl, House of Hurricane, she wrote a very popular Gwynreal fic called Rules for Spies. And she announced like her retirement from feature length fan fiction because she got an idea while writing to do a fantasy that was based on a Cuban war or whatever. But she's working on that now. And then I know one of my friends who's been working on a Gwynreal fic for a while is also in the background working on a historical fiction set in Chicago. And it's got, you know, bits of inspiration from what she's working on. A lot of the times these people who write as they go see ideas that they can't fit into their fan fiction. They're like, but I could fit it into this. Yeah.
The fun plot bunnies.
Oh yeah, plot bunnies. Yeah.
I love it.
For sure.
You have a favorite fanfic that you've ever read. You've ever like had a bar for fanfic having written it?
So the funny thing about me and fanfiction is that I have not read any Gwynreal fanfiction because I knew when I wanted to write it that, so I got my ideas from looking at people's headcanons on Tumblr and on Instagram. And I was like, I'll turn that into chapter, that into chapter. And then when I started working on A Court of Light and Melody, I started reading my friend Heather's Gwynreal fan fiction, and I remember reading a part of it and going, oh, I can't believe I didn't think of that. I want to do that. And I'm sure if I ask her, she'll let me like take a little bit of it. And I was like, no, because one thing that stops people from continuing a fan fiction is it sounds too much like another one they've read. And I wanted to keep mine wholly unique. So I actually haven't read much ACOTAR fan fiction just because I don't want to get influenced. Now that I'm done writing feature length ACOTAR fan fiction, I'm probably going to get into it. I will forever recommend my friend Heather's Gwynreal fan fiction, The Raven and the Songbird. And then my friend Mystical Blaze wrote a really good Gwynreal AU set in Chicago at Christmas. I think it's called Give Me Your Heart for Christmas. But my favorite of all time will always be The Life and Times by Jules Five.
Fair. Fair.
Do you have a favorite? Don't you dare say anything that, don't say mine, it's not.
I am I'm very new to fanfic.
Yes.
And
you're into Dramione.
I'm very into Dramione. I'm very, very into Dramione. Like, everyone's like, you know that trend on TikTok that's like, what's your like dark haired like Morally Gray love interest? Like, who's your first one? And mine's like, it's fucking Draco Malfoy. Like, he's blonde and
light-haired,
blonde and annoying, and he's my light hair, Morally Gray, like, needed a freaking, like.
Are you a big manacled person? I know the big ones. I know manacled.
I'm not a big manacled. I'm really into the Hope and Waiting.
Okay.
And the beginning and endings, which is I Might Be Writing. And it's fantastic. So it's like a four-part thing. And the first is Wait and Hope. And it's like Hermione's in the hospital and she's lost her memory. And from like the last 6 years, is she like can't remember anything. To her, it's like 6 years prior. And like Draco Malfoy is trying to like get into the hospital room being like, I want to see my wife. And she has no memory of it.
That's exciting.
Last she remembers, she's still dating Ron. And she has like no idea how this even happened. And they have to kind of learn to love again.
Do you sort of learn with her like what happened?
Or no, because like, it's like very important to like the healers that Draco doesn't share like major events, or like he doesn't show her in like a pensive. And so it's just, they start from ground zero and they start to get to know each other again. And Draco has all of the memories still, but she doesn't. And so seeing that like dichotomy and seeing him like try to like not push her, but push her, it's wonderful. And it's wonderfully written. And then the second part is beginnings and endings. And it's from Draco's point of view. It's how they met, or like how they got together. And so you see how it happened from his point of view. And it's also wonderfully done. It's like such a great like slow burn. And then there's like spinoffs. So you have like a piece of it that's Blaze and Theo. And it's just like a 5-6 chapter thing. It's how they got together in this like headcanon. And then you have like a one chapter, one shot of Pansy and Neville.
Jesus. That's so much work.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Holy Noki on TikTok?
No.
Woo. She has some really great Draco, Dramione, Rex. She also does Dramione fic read-alongs. But if you're looking for good Dramione content, Holy Noki is... She and I also talk about like Gwenriel and ACOTAR and stuff as well, but she's great for Dramione content.
I love it. The Thestral Reads, the Thestral Review, it's one of those. She did freaking Lord's work. She created a Google Drive spreadsheet of all of the Dramione fanfics.
Oh shit, that must have taken forever.
She has it split up into the 100K, the novellas, the one shots. She has like the tropes, she has like the description in it, like, and she uses it herself. So if you download it at certain times, you can see some of her ratings. And I like copied it so I can like start putting my own. And
nice.
It's extensive.
Do you download your fix to a Kindle, or do you read them on your phone?
It depends. I mostly read on my phone, and then if I love it, I'll download it and I'll keep it in my Kindle so that way I can keep going back to it. Like I have all of I Might Be Writing's fanfics.
I didn't know you could do that until Holy Noki told me about it.
I don't know if you still can soon.
I think that they stopped supporting Mobi.
Yeah,
Kindle did, but yeah, that. Shame. That's what a shame.
So annoying. And they're like, well, you can do EPUB, but like EPUB doesn't download half the time.
Really?
Yeah. If you do EPUB, like I do it on my phone.
Uh-huh.
And so then I try to send it to the Kindle app, and sometimes it's like not a recognized format. And I'm like, this is.
Oh, I think I got like an EPUB manuscript on my Kindle app, and it like there were no line breaks. And it was really shitty.
Yeah, a bunch of my arcs come in as EPUBs. And so, like, I get it. Like, it's not well formatted, but like, it's better than nothing. So, circling back, what are you currently working on? Because I felt like this was a great segue.
Right now, okay, so I'm outlining my own original stuff right now. Which I'm keeping a pretty tight lip on because I don't know what's going to happen to it. But in the background, I am working on an Aleutian three-parter centered around Nessian's mating ceremony, where basically Elaine has a vision at the ceremony of Asriel and Gwyn ending up together. And she's like, well, and she's not, I don't believe in making Elaine mean or petty or anything, because she's just not canonically those things. But she is kind of sad that her fate is pretty much, everybody's fate is sealed, and she doesn't have a say in her own destiny. So she's like, well, whatever, I want to show everybody that I'm happy, and I don't give a shit. And she goes over to Lucian and is like, hi, come dance with me. We're going to make everybody see how happy and wonderful I am, okay? And he's like, whatever.
It's what I've been hoping for.
He's like, whenever you're ready, I guess. And you kind of, it was interesting because I do a little character study in Lucian then, and how he's kind of, we've seen guys in this series get really territorial and alpha-y when their mates don't reciprocate. And we've seen Lucian kind of take a back seat. And he's like, all right, I guess I'll come for holidays. Ready? No? Okay. I'll go all the way back home. And you basically learn that he's been kind of okay with this because he's just like, I was supposed to love Jesmenda anyway. So you're just kind of like second prize to me, whatever. But anyway, they come together. They learn to love each other. And by the time Gwynreal's mating ceremony happens, they hook up at that wedding. They just kind of get a habit of hooking up at different events. And Elaine does not take a safety potion, and she may or may not be pregnant. And they decide that they have to figure it out what they're going to do. And I won't say how it ends because I'm not sure. Sarah, Rosebud Mode is pushing for one ending. I'm pushing for another. But it's a nice little rom-com that I'm working on in the background while I do some heavy world building for my own personal stuff.
I love that. I love that balance.
Yeah. I gotta be, listen, I'm a former gifted kid, and if I am not constantly creating something, then I am worthless.
Literally, how do you think this podcast came to be?
I know, exactly. And I'm just like, if I cannot see like the rewards for the things that make me happy, then why is it important?
This podcast, in a nutshell.
You have to have something to put out, or else like you question your value. I swear, like, yeah. It's not fair to us, but what else are you going to do? Go to therapy? No.
No, I read about fucking blonde haired men.
Yeah, I'll read about blonde haired men and fairy porn. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
Iced coffee and fairy porn. Thank you.
Literally my life. Well, this has been so fun. I could talk to you for hours.
Oh yeah, you too.
Just like wrap this up so I can just like keep you on the line.
Great. Yeah.
So my closing question to all of my guests, what books are you currently binging?
Yes, I have just finished my arc of Raven Kennedy's Glow.
I hate you so much.
It is
this interview was so great for so long. But like, I think we're done.
I am just so fortunate to have gotten on the Nerd Fam list. That's how I got it. Was Rachel Sky Reads does the Nerd Fam, and she was had people sign up for ARCs.
Yeah, I signed up.
Oh no!
I hate you so much.
This was my first ever ARC that didn't come from NetGalley, and I got I finished it in 3 days. It is so good. You can read my spoiler-free review on Goodreads right now, but I will say it's just such a rare thing to get into a book series and have your favorite become each newest one that comes out. Because like, if you had asked me when I was reading Glint which one was my favorite, I would have said Glint. If you asked me Gleam, it would have been Gleam. You ask me now, Glow is my favorite. Glow is my absolute favorite.
Fucking love Raven Kennedy.
I have not read anything else by her, just the Guild series.
The Heart Hassle is so fun.
What is it?
The Heart Hassle series.
It's I heard Heart Hassle.
That too. It's a take on Cupid.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and it's reverse harem, and it's just so funny.
My friend, like, Hope, I think, was recommending this.
I read it, and I got drunk, and then I, like, slid into Raven's DMs and was just like, I love her.
Oh, I see. Did she respond?
Oh, for sure, because, like, she's been on the podcast, so, like, I'm in her DMs already, and so...
Oh, now I know what I'm listening to at work. Okay, I'll have to listen to that one.
Well, this has been wonderful. My battery's about to die. Otherwise, it'd keep me on so much longer because I'm having so much fun. But it just got yelled at. So.
No, you're fine. This has been so great.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a great time. I'm so excited to listen to more.
As you can tell, Izzy is so much fun. You can read all of her fan fiction on AO3 under the username Davistanner. You can also follow her on Instagram and TikTok at ReadTheseFics. She's awesome, and I cannot recommend both her fanfic and her accounts more. This has been a Bookshelf Binge. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can get these episodes early and ad-free on the Patreon. Frequent guest Jess will be coming on the Patreon to talk all about Throne of Glass. It'll be released as a limited series on the Patreon. And if you're interested in reading along with us, there are channels on the Discord just for the series. I'm so excited about this, like, fun new part of the Patreon. Also, you can find all merch, Discord, and just general links to all the episodes on the website, abookshelfbinge.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to give the show 5 stars on your preferred listening platform. I'm your host, Jessica. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at A Bookshelf Binge. I love seeing everyone share the show around on social media. It means so much to me. You guys have no idea how much I love seeing you guys share the show. It really, truly keeps me going. Thank you so much again for listening, and I'll talk to you next week.